You are listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Community Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we hope and pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen.
Aren't you glad, church, that we have a Father who knows our name and hears us when we call? I'm so thankful for that, and I hope you are too. And you guys can go ahead and bring the house lights up. I like to see people's faces when I speak just to make sure nobody's drifting off, because that tends to happen a lot here from what I understand. I don't know, that's what people tell me. It's good to see you today. This is it's a great day in our church. We're so excited to launch our new children's curriculum today, and there's been a tremendous number of hours put in behind the scenes to make this possible, to make this launch happen today. And I hope that you're going to encourage the kids today when you see them. And I wanted to just take a moment, as you know, they've already left. They're out there doing their thing and having fun and learning about Jesus. And I want to just take a few moments as a church family, if you would, and just pray together and just pray over this and ask for God's blessing on this. Would you guys join me in prayer? Let's do that right now. Lord, we see in Scripture the kind of heart that you have for children. And it's such a beautiful thing to see how when our Lord was here on this earth intermingling with people, how he always took time for the boys and the girls. And Father, here in this church, we want to follow that example. And I thank you for a group of leaders who have made our children's ministry one of the highest priorities in this church, and for leaders who don't bat an eye when it comes time to make larger investments into our children. And I thank you, Father, for the great group of kids that you've brought here and are continuing to bring. Lord, we know that each one of them are precious in your sight, and we know the potential that each of them holds for doing great things for your kingdom in the days to come. And Lord, after we are worn out and too old to do this anymore, we know they are going to be the ones to step up and lead the way. And so we just take this time now, Father, and we pray for them. Lord, these kids are growing up in a world that is very different to the world I grew up in when I was a kid. They are facing things at a much earlier age than most of us ever would have dreamed of. And so we pray for your protection upon each of them as they grow. I pray, Father, you would build into them hearts that beat for you. Keep their eyes and their desires and their ambitions focused upon the things that matter, and not on the things of this world. I pray, Lord, you would raise up a generation of young people in this church who stand boldly for you in this world. And I pray, Lord, that one day, somewhere down the road, we would have the wonderful opportunity of looking back and seeing what you've done through the lives of these little ones who are here today. I pray, Lord, for those in the children's ministry, perhaps even this very morning, who do not know you. Lord, I pray that you would open their heart today. Help them to see their need for a Savior. And I pray they would give their life to you. Lord, we rejoice for those who have come to know you already through this ministry. We thank you for young Cade, who a couple of weeks ago stopped me after the service and asked if I would pray with him to accept Jesus into his heart. And for the joy that we have participating in those kind of things. So, Father, I pray over them right now, and I pray you would be very close to them, fill them with an awareness of who you are and of your presence and of your love for them. I pray for all the teachers this morning and the helpers who are working so hard, have put in so many hours investing into this. And God, I just pray a special blessing and special encouragement for them today and in the weeks to come. And Lord, I pray you would take this our meager effort here, which is our best effort, and you would multiply it in ways that astound us. I pray that this would filter out through the schools where the kids go during the week, and I just pray you would draw other people in, boys and girls who do not know you, and I pray we'd see a great harvest from this. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I am excited to be back and continue on with our journey through this series called Holy Ambition. Now, let me just ask you, I'm not going to call on anybody, so you can relax, but let's just go back over the last couple of weeks real quick for those who may not have been here and just do a real quick recap. 2 weeks ago, we talked about having does anybody remember what kind of heart? Dislocated heart. Excellent. What does that mean? Anybody want to be bold enough to share? What does it mean to have a dislocated heart? Some kind of serious injury? What is that?
Heart that's more concerned with God's agenda than your own.
Excellent. A heart that's more concerned with God's agenda than with your own agenda. Last week, we followed that up by talking about the importance of having what kind of spirit?
Broken.
A broken spirit. What does that mean? Anybody remember? Anybody able to kind of summarize that for us? It's a broken spirit where you just walk around all the time feeling sad and bad about yourself. It's a what? Don't leave me hanging. Turn your will over to God.
Care about others' needs.
Absolutely. Care about others' needs. Your heart aches and hurts. Not only do you see the need and not only are you aware of it, but you have a heart that hurts and it breaks over those needs. And I shared with you last week how when you and I step through those first two steps where we have a dislocated heart, where we're aware of needs that are outside our own little world, but then we take the second step and not only we're aware of those needs, that our heart actually begins to ache and hurt and break over those needs to the point where we start crying out to God and say, God, you got to let me be part of the solution to this. Somehow, my heart hurts and I want to be part of this. Well, today, before we get into the third step, I wanted to just take a few moments and do something special here just as a way of illustrating what God can do through anyone's life who hears about a need that they're removed from and yet who has a broken heart over that need and steps out by faith, which is what we're going to be talking about today, a dislocated heart, a broken spirit, and today we're going to talk about a radical faith. And so I want to invite one of our young men to come up with me for just a few moments, Samuel Hall. Samuel, if you'd come up. And let's give him a hand as he comes up here. Have a seat, Samuel. I was going to say, I think your dad broke the mic this morning, but I think we're in good shape. Your dad wouldn't do that, would he?
I hadn't
Samuel is the son of Johnny and Tanya Hall, our student pastor here, and Samuel has just a great story to share with us. And Samuel, this happened a number of years ago when Hurricane Katrina hit the coast, and you had been saving some money for something pretty special. Tell us about that.
Well, I did a lemonade stand so I could go to Disney World, and we saved up for that. We had the Disneyland jar. So.
The Disneyland jar. Isn't it amazing how many kids save money to go to Disney World? I mean, my kids did the same thing. It's remarkable. I think the church could maybe learn a lesson from Disney World. They got something going on there that just draws millions of people a year. So you had saved your money, and I think you said you had saved around, what, maybe $90, $95, $98, somewhere in there? Okay.
Somewhere around there.
Well, then you heard about Hurricane Katrina, and you heard about all the people who lost everything down there. And tell me a little bit about the next step and what happened.
Well, I kind of just went to my dad and asked him if we could give the money to NAM.
North American Mission Board.
So that for Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did that, and they did this thing called Samuel's Challenge.
So you took, I think if I remember correctly, your dad, you guys were living in Alpharetta, Georgia at the time, and you were pretty close to North American Mission Board's headquarters there. And so I think they put you in the car and you took your jar of money and you took it in there and said you wanted to give it to them. And then they did a little, they were kind of inspired by that and did a sort of a video of that.
Yes.
And they called it, what was it again?
Samuel's Challenge.
Samuel's Challenge. And so they took that and they, you know, they were inspired by this young boy coming and bringing his Disney World money to give to help people down at the hurricane site. And so they kind of spread this out among the churches across the country, and people started giving and giving money to help the people who had been who'd lost everything in Katrina. And then a while after that, you guys got a phone call from one of the directors at the mission board with some pretty amazing news, I hear, that they had raised, I believe, well over $1 million for hurricane relief through Samuel's Challenge. Is that amazing that, you know, one boy brings 90-something dollars? I just have one thing to say, and I think our elders would agree. We're going to go ahead and put Samuel in charge of fundraising for LifePoint. Well, you know, that's an amazing story of someone who heard about a need that, frankly, he was removed from. It didn't affect his world in Alpharetta. He was fine. But he had a dislocated heart, and then God began tugging on his heart, and it turned into a broken spirit for these people. And then he did what we're going to talk about today, which is stepping out in radical childlike faith and taking 90-something dollars to help people who had lost everything in the hurricane. I mean, what can $90 do? In your eyes, in my eyes, it can't do anything. But you see, God is able to take things and multiply them exponentially when we step out by faith. Just like the boy who brought his lunch to Jesus. I mean, 5,000 men plus women and children. That doesn't add up in anybody's books. And yet God is able to multiply our little bit and turn it into a lot. And so, Samuel, I wanted to just give our folks just a few minutes this morning to hear that story. Anything that you took away from that lesson? Anything that you kind of learned from all of that? I mean, you learn not to give your Disney World money away. His mom's over there going, no, I know we learned something from this. I know. I bet you learned what God could do through giving whatever you have. Yeah, yeah. Y'all, give Samuel a big round of applause, if you would, this morning. Thank you, buddy. Thank you so much. See, that's why I try to ask you guys some Sundays if you remember what we talked about the week before. I want to make sure we're learning something from all of this. And that's just a great story. And Samuel, thanks again so much for coming up here. I know it's kind of nerve-wracking to be up in front of people. At least it is for me. I think he was, you know, he mentioned to me this week that he'd be happy to just go ahead and preach the whole service if I needed him to. So I'll keep that one in mind for future. So, you know, there's just a great example of what God can do when someone's heart is touched with a need outside their own little world. And when our heart gets broken by that, and then when we do what we're going to talk about today, which is stepping out. You know, here's the thing. We can have a dislocated heart. We can have a heart that is aware of needs around us. And we can even have a broken spirit over that. But really, those two things can remain private forever. And it's not until we step out by faith that it becomes a public thing. It dawned on me this week how easy it is for us to live a private Christian life. You know what I mean, don't you? Secret agent Christians, undercover Christians. When we're in here, surrounded by people like us who believe like us, we can raise our hands and praise the Lord, and we can speak the language, but sometimes when we get out there, surrounded by people who may not feel or believe or think or see the same we do, some bizarre condition takes place in us where all of a sudden what is public in this room becomes very private. And it's very easy for us to live our lives as secret agent Christians. But I want to tell you guys something this morning. God is not content to simply live in your heart. He wants to live through your life to make a difference in the lives of people around you. He's not content to just stay inside of you. He wants to move through your life, your actions every day, your words, your thoughts, your deeds, so that He can impact the lives of others and make Himself known to Him. You remember the verse we started this series with, 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth, so that He may show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are committed to Him." In every day and age that has ever gone by, in every day and age, God is looking for a man or a woman or a student or a boy or a girl who will take a public stand for Him and demonstrate radical faith. We see this throughout Scripture. Just a couple of examples. One is back in the time of Ezekiel. Things had gotten so bad in the world, there was corruption, and God was desperately searching for someone who would stand up and represent Him, who would take a step out of the culture and demonstrate a radical faith. And after conducting this search, I want you to listen to these heartbreaking words from the Lord Himself in Ezekiel 22:30. He said, "So I sought for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one." I found no one. Can you hear the heartbreak of God? Same thing He said in 2 Chronicles when the prophet spoke those words to King Asa. God is saying, "I'm searching for someone, desperately looking for people in the crowd who will step out and take a step of faith for me and allow me to show myself strong on their behalf." And here in Ezekiel, He said, I searched for someone who would take a stand against the culture, someone who would stand and rebuild the walls. A beautiful Old Testament picture there. Someone who would stand in the gap for me. And I found no one. I found no one. How tragic it would be for the Lord to search your life and my life. For the Lord to look through this church and after looking through Life Point Church, utter the words, "I found no one." It's too easy to remain silent when God is looking for a voice. There's a song someone wrote years ago that said, "We are His hands. Are His hands moving? We are His heart. Is His heart beating? We are His feet. Are His feet going?" And there's a strange balance there that I don't quite fully understand, that yes, God is able to step down onto this earth and fulfill His mission in the blink of an eye by himself if he chose to, and yet he's not going to do that. He's using you and me to fulfill his mission. And it's almost, and I say this with great reverence, it's almost as though if you and I choose to remain silent and just sit on our hands, that in some sense we're stalling the mission of God on this earth. I say that reverently because, you know, we're not holding God up. God can do anything he wants, and yet in just some strange way, God has turned this over to us, and he's given us the Holy Spirit to move through us. And yet sometimes, even the Bible says, we can quench the Spirit. We can just stall what God wants to do. It's too easy to stay silent when God is looking for a voice. I thought about the story of Esther, young Esther, a young woman in her day, faced with a crisis moment. She had an opportunity to go before the king and speak up on behalf of her people. And that was an act that could very easily end in her death by approaching the king. And she was obviously afraid to do this, like any one of us would have been. And yet a man named Mordecai spoke these very challenging words to her. He said, "Esther, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance from the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your family will perish. And who knows, but that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this." Guys, I want to tell you something right now. I want to speak directly to Life Point Church, to everyone who's here. For some of you, listen carefully, for some of you, right now is your time. Right now is your time. God may be tugging on your heart to do something for him, to take a step of faith. Maybe it just seems like a small step. Maybe it seems like it won't even make a difference. Maybe it just seems like $90-something dollars compared to all the destruction that Hurricane Katrina brought to the coast. And yet God's tugging on your heart to step out by faith and obey him in some area. How will you respond? For some of you, I'm telling you, right now, this morning, is your time. And God is going to speak to you today and continue to nudge your heart to step out by faith. How are you going to respond? Now's your time. God's looking for a voice, and it could be your voice. I want to tell you guys, we've already seen so clearly what God can do through people when they make the decision to step out by faith. We see it here at Life Point all the time. Those of you who've stepped out in different areas to serve in this church, and a lot of you are doing it, can I just say, behind the scenes? But you know what? I hear stories all the time of someone just in a passing comment going, "You know, that gal at church, she called me the other day to encourage me. And I was so down. Or, you know, I had a bill that I didn't know how I was going to get paid, and someone in the church just stepped in, and just God just used them to take care of it." And I hear stories all the time of how you guys and gals are kind of moving about during the week in each other's lives and touching each other's lives for Christ. You're being the hands of Christ. So many of you have stepped out and you've started serving in different ways here at Life Point, helping with the children's ministry. And by the way, just a quick plug, we need help in the children's ministry. I don't know if you saw how many kids left here this morning, and a lot of the workers who are going to be involved in this new program left with them today to just kind of go help launch this thing. But I'm telling you guys, we need help in the children's ministry. And maybe, you know, that's not your thing. Don't make me repeat the story I shared a couple weeks ago about my deal in children's ministry, okay? Because I'll take you through it again if I need to. I mean, you know, God years ago just said, I want you to step out and help with the kids. I was like, no, I'm not doing that. But I did, and God used that little step of faith to take me to another open door and another open door. Maybe you're here this morning and you see this need, and what are we going to do about it? Are we going to say, well, I sure hope somebody hears what Phil's saying. I sure hope somebody has a broken heart to help with those kids. But we need to ask God, God, are you speaking to me in some area? And I see so many of you who've stepped out, not only here, you know, kind of on Sundays what we do, but throughout the week, I hear and see things that are going on. So excited about the stories that I see of, you know, a young couple in our church who heard about people on the other side of the world who are dying of thirst. I mean, I can't even get my mind around that. I can walk into several rooms in my house and turn on a faucet and there's fresh water that comes out. And we let it run down the drain, unused. And I got to tell you, that's just one that, you know, God hasn't, He hasn't hit my heart with that need. Although I see it's a huge need, and that there's a young couple in our church who years ago heard about this need, and they started this program of challenging people and raising funds, and they've sent huge amounts of money over to put wells in the ground and give people water to save their lives and also tell people about the living water that saves their souls from right here in this church. Just this past week, some folks in our church got together and had a special event to raise money for one of the ministries that we are connected with and that we support, Miracle Hill Boys Shelter. And I think over $1,500, is that right, was raised just through one event this week because somebody had a dislocated heart and a broken spirit, but they didn't stop there. They stepped out with a radical faith and said, God, we're going to take this and challenge other people to raise money for these boys who have no families. We're already involved with the boys' shelter, and you folks go out every once in a while and celebrate birthdays for them. These boys that have no parents to give them birthday parties, our church goes and we give them a birthday party. And now I heard just recently where some of our folks have gotten burdened for something even more than that, and they said birthday parties aren't enough. We want to take the time to go and mentor these young boys and begin to disciple them. And first of all, make sure they know the Lord as their Savior, and then begin to disciple them and encourage them and give them some direction and hope for their future. How exciting is that? From this church, those kind of things are springing up all the time. I had lunch last week or the week before. I can't remember. It all kind of runs together. But with a couple here in our church, they haven't even been here long. And yet they've kind of come in and hit the ground running and came to share one of their passions with me. The wife has this burden for young girls about 8 to 12, and she wants to kind of gather them up and begin teaching them some practical things that they need to know to be a young lady as they go through life, but also begin teaching them how to be a Christian woman. Thank God for a burden like that. And you're going to start hearing more about that. It's called Pure Princess, and I'm so excited. There's another thing that God has sort of birthed in the heart of people here. And you know what, guys? Listen to me. Listen. This is so important. The greatest things that will ever happen through this church will not come from me. They won't. I'm fulfilling the role God has called me to fulfill in this church. But God is waiting for you too to step out of the crowd and to feel that tug on your heart in some direction and say, God, I want to be involved in this. I want to make a difference for you. I want to step out by faith. It's not enough just to have a dislocated heart and a broken spirit. That's a great start, but we've got to step out at some point. We've got to step out by faith. And that's the hard part, because when you step out, you're going public. And then you put it all on the line. Because if God's told you to step out and you go public with it, then really, and I've done this many times, I'm doing one of these. All right, Lord, don't let me down. Come on. You got my back, right? I'm not going to make a fool of myself, right? And God always comes through for us when we do that. We see this in the life of Nehemiah. He heard about the news 500 miles away. Destruction had come to Jerusalem. He could have said, hey, you know, I'm really sorry about that, but I'm busy here. But he had a dislocated heart. And then he got a broken spirit, and we saw last week how he mourned and fasted and wept for days before the Lord. And then we pick up very quickly as we wind this down in the very last verse of Nehemiah chapter 1, where we left off last week. The last part of verse 11, after he had mourned and fasted over this problem he heard about so far away. And at the end of his prayer, he prays these words, Lord, give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. And this man he was talking about was the king who he worked for. Nehemiah was getting ready now to kind of get up off his knees in prayer and say, all right, I am broken over this need, but I'm not just going to keep it to myself anymore. I am now going to take a radical step of faith. And I'm going to take what has been a private burden for me, and I'm going to now launch it into the public arena. And I'm going to step out, and I'm going to go to the king, and I'm going to tell him about this, and I'm going to see what God will do. Follow along in the next verse, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. He says, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. Because you better not be sad in front of the king, or they'll take your head off. Kings don't like to be put into a bad mood back in those days. They were pretty much very egotistical people for the most part. So you couldn't be sad in front of them. And I love the way he adds that in there. I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. And he says, I was very much afraid. I was very much afraid. Because I'm sure Nehemiah did his best to cover up the sadness because he knew what awaited him possibly if he went into the king with a sad face. And yet the king saw through that. He said, Nehemiah, what's going on? You're sad in my presence. And Nehemiah thought, uh-oh. Maybe I should have just kept this need to myself. What am I doing stepping out and going public with this? It's already turning out bad. Don't you think that all ran through his head in that 0.3 seconds right there? This was a mistake. Oh no, I'm terrified. But I said to the king, may the king live forever. He's buttering him up a little bit there. What a great king you are. May you live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins? And its gates have been destroyed by fire. Then the king said to me, hey, you want to see God about to step into action with a man who could have had him killed on the spot? You want to see God doing a Proverbs 21:1 where it says, even the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and like rivers of water, he can turn it whichever way he pleases. We're about to see that right here. The king said to me, what is it you want? Amazing words. What is it you want? Then I prayed to the God of heaven, one of those instant prayers, God, help me. Help me know what to say. And I answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my fathers are buried so that I can rebuild it. And it was in that moment when Nehemiah went public with this private burden of his, and he verbalized what was in his heart, that step of faith he took. He went before the king and shared his burden with the king and the beginning of his vision for what he wanted to do with it, even though it sounded crazy. We have absolutely nothing in Scripture that gives us any indication, really, that Nehemiah knew how to rebuild a city. He was a cupbearer in the king's palace. And yet God put this burden on his heart. And Nehemiah had such a radical faith in such a big God. Remember, we talked about your faith is only as big as your picture of God. Nehemiah had such a big God and so much faith in that big God that he was bold enough to go to the king. And when the king said, "What do you want?" Nehemiah said, "I'm going to go rebuild Jerusalem." It's crazy. And yet when God is the one who gives you the burden, there's nothing too big for him. Man, I think back on the little tiny handful of people who came together years ago and started this church. We had nothing. We didn't have a building. We didn't have chairs. We didn't have a sound system. We had nothing but a burden on our heart and faith in a big God. That's all we had. And I tell you what, there's something really special about those times when all you have is faith. And you're just saying, "God, you're going to have to do this." I mean, for us, and I look around, I see these people here today, still here today, serving the Lord and being a part of this fellowship, and it just fills my heart with joy to see you guys. You remember those days? When we met in my living room, and we met in Roger's apartment, and we'd talk and we'd dream about this, and we could have talked about it forever, and we could have, 20 years from now, looked back and said, "Man, remember when we talked about that? And I wonder what would have happened if we'd have stepped out by faith. But, oh, that was crazy. I mean, where are we going to meet? I mean, where are we going to have money to buy a sound system and chairs? And how would that have ever come together?" We could have looked back and said, "What if? Wonder what would have happened if we had taken that third step and exercised a radical faith." But you know what? I get to stand up here today and look out and see what happened because of your radical faith in a big God. When we stepped out and just said, "God, do this. You've called us to do this, and it's up to you." And now we hear from people around the world who listen online and whose lives are being changed because of that crazy step of faith. And I want to tell you, throughout the course of our lives, as individuals and as a church, God is going to give us continual opportunities to step out by faith. Can I just take a moment and share a place, just real quickly, where we are as a church right now with you guys? Because I want you all to know. And I want you all to know so that you can pray. God has always been extraordinarily gracious to us as a church to bring us the leadership that we've needed at the time that we've needed it. And I'll tell you, our elders will tell you this, most often than not, it seems like the last possible second that he does that. But we've been so blessed that we haven't had to go on nationwide searches to search for new leaders to come in. We pray and we say, "God, we need help in this area and this area and this area." And people show up. You know why, guys? Because God's bigger than our little plans here. Well, I had a meeting last week with Jeff Smith. And just to cut the story real short, Jeff's company has brought him to a kind of a place now with them where his responsibilities are going to be immensely expanded. And he's in charge of business development for a very large company for all of North America and Asia Pacific and maybe somewhere else. I can't remember. And, you know, Jeff said, "Phil, look, I love this church, man, and I'm not going anywhere." But he said, "You know, one of my responsibilities in life is to be the best employee I can for my boss." And he said, "This new step is just simply going to make it impossible for me to continue leading the music ministry full time. He said, I still want to be involved and all, you know, I'm not going away, but he just, you know, he wanted to share with me what God is, you know, taking him into a new chapter in his life. And after we talked through that whole thing, I just kind of looked across the table. I said, you know, Jeff, you know what I think? I think maybe what we need to start praying about is that God will just kind of step you down and allow you to focus on these other responsibilities and bring someone else in. And I said, I don't see this as a bad thing at all, because this is just a new chapter. It's just a different page in the story of LifePoint. And there may be some, you know, rough interim times, and maybe we'll have weeks where we won't have music. I don't know. But I want you guys to be praying with us about this, that God would bring the right person in who can kind of step in and work with Jeff through an interim period and then just take us into whatever the next page is that God has for us. But as leaders of the church, I'm telling you, I'm standing here looking and going, this is a huge step of faith. And I don't know where God is leading us. I can't see that far down the road, but I wanted you to know about that. Please help us pray about that. There's so many times in our journey where God calls us to step out of the boat like Peter did. And you know, the great thing is that I love, I think I shared with you one time about that, is the other 11 disciples stayed in the boat. Peter got out of the boat, and he was the only one who had that story to tell for the rest of his life. The other guy's like, yeah, I remember Peter got out of the boat. That guy's crazy. But they couldn't tell their grandchildren about the time they got out of the boat, because they didn't step out on radical faith, and he was the only one who did. God is constantly calling people to step out of the crowd and follow him. Watch this as we close.
Charles Blondin, he was one of the greatest tightrope walkers in the history of the world. And one of his greatest feats was walking the Niagara Falls on a tightrope, 11,000 feet long, 160 feet above the water. And this he accomplished a number of times, and always with different theatric variations. Blindfolded, in a sack, pushing a wheelbarrow, on stilts, carrying a man on his back, and sitting down one time midway while he made an egg, an omelet. And one day after he had pushed a wheelbarrow across the Niagara Falls and come back on that tightrope, he asked a question. How many of you believe that I could put a person in this wheelbarrow and push him across the tightrope? And everybody cheered and yelled and screamed, and everybody believed. And then he asked for a volunteer. And the crowd grew very, very quiet until one man stepped out of the crowd and got in the wheelbarrow. There's a difference between the crowd and the man in the wheelbarrow. In regards to God, where are you? In the crowd? Saying, oh, I believe there's a God. I believe Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. I believe there's a new world coming. Or are you in the wheelbarrow? You know, it doesn't really make much difference when you're standing on shore. It makes a lot of difference halfway across the tightrope. And in our everyday experiences, in our life, in our choices, in our waking up, going through our days, and going back to bed, we can play it safe. We can stay in the boat. We can maintain our comfort zone, or we can walk on the water with Jesus. But if you want to walk on the water, you've got to get out of the boat. What do you think about? What are you connected to? What's driving you? What's motivating you? What makes you make the choices you make? Who is most important in your life? Not in your words, not out of your mouth, but out of your life.
Let me ask you as we close, where are we going to spend our life? Are we going to spend our life blending into the crowd? Or as we see God's eyes searching through the crowd for someone who'll just take a little step of faith for Him, are we going to step out of the crowd and say, Lord, I'll go with you across the tightrope? If you're taking notes, write this last thing down. A radical faith begins when you respond in a specific, tangible way to what you know God is asking you to do, regardless of the cost. What would it look like for you today to take a radical step of faith? Not the person next to you. Where you are in your life right now, where God has planted you, what would it look like for you to take a radical step of faith? Is God tugging on your heart to step out and follow Him in some direction? To do something that seems crazy, it's unknown. God, I don't know where this is going to lead, but I feel you tugging on my heart. I'm going to step out. Let's pray. Maybe in these few quiet moments that we have before we sing some closing songs, maybe you were one of the people I was speaking to a few moments ago when I said that right now is your time. And God is tugging on your heart in some specific way to step out and follow where He's leading in your life. And you can't see around the next bend, but you know God can. And you know, as the psalmist said, that He's already been down the road ahead of you and He's already prepared a table for you. You just need to step out. What is God saying to you this morning? Is there some area in your life where He's tugging you, asking you to step out and follow Him by faith? Would you do business with Him right now in this moment? Would you just step across that line in your heart to Him and in obedience to Him and just say, Lord, like Nehemiah, I'm scared to death, but I trust You and I want to follow You. Father, give us bold hearts, I pray. It's not enough to have courageous vision, but God, we need boldness to step out and pursue that vision, to make it become a reality, to take it from our own private world and launch it into the public arena so that people can see what a great God we have and that lives can be touched. Father, I pray for this precious family called LifePoint. I just pray if You're speaking to someone's heart this morning in some small area of their world where You're asking them to step out by faith, I pray, Father, they would lay it down this morning. I pray that they would step out. And I pray for all of us, Father, that we would live our lives not being one of the 11 in the boat, but being the one on the water. So that as the years tick by, we'll have an opportunity to share stories of what You've done. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Community Church in Greenville, South Carolina. More teaching resources are available from our website at lifepointcc.org. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you today, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us directly from our website, or you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Thanks again for listening. May God bless you.